Hey, good Sunday morning, everybody. It's time for Breakout Radio Church here on BPN Radio in Austin, Texas. Want to welcome all of our church members and those that are listening across America and around the world here on this Lord's Day. And we here at Breakout Radio Church are a house of prayer for all nations. And we're absolutely delighted to have you attending Breakout Radio Church on this Lord's Day, wherever you may be, wherever you may be at. This service is being broadcast across America and around the world from our ministry center here in Austin, Texas. And Breakout Radio Church is connecting a community of believers across this land, around the globe. And if you want, we want to welcome all of our members today and let those of you who are visiting this morning that if you don't have a pastor, you don't have a church. After my sermon, I'm going to share information on how you too can become a member. If you need prayer, someone to talk to during this service this morning, you can contact a member of our church leadership team who's ready to visit with you or pray with you anytime during this service or following the service. And all you need to do is go to breakoutradiochurch.com, breakoutradiochurch.com. And then you click on the meeting room. When you get there, you don't have to enter your name, but there will be someone that can pray with you or answer one of your questions. And so let's pray today. Father, we just come boldly into your presence this morning by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus, declaring, God, you're our Father, and we are your sons and daughters. We pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday morning, here at Breakout Radio Church. We pray that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And while praying this week concerning this presidential election, the Holy Spirit gave me a prophetic word. This is the first word I've had concerning this presidential election, and I want to read it to you. I said, I hear the Holy Spirit saying that there is a Jezebel spirit that is attempting to make its way into the White House, wickedness in high places, desiring to take Naboth's vineyard, the inheritance of every believer. We must pray today, deliver us from evil. And then, of course, I said, most all prophetic words are conditional, according to the response of the people with prayer and repentance of circumstances and situations, may be turned around or reversed according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. So because of that word, I realize that this is not just a normal presidential election. There's spiritual war going on, and we as Christians must realize that we are in a spiritual warfare for the heart and soul of this nation. So as a result of this prophetic word, I'm going to do something that I've not done before at Breakout Radio Church. I'm going to replay a sermon I preached at a church several years ago that I was leading who was under attack from a Jezebel spirit. Now, I know this is a pretty heavy sermon, but I felt I should replay it this day, this week, because of the Jezebel spirit that's trying to enter the White House. And after this sermon, I'm going to be back to pray. And so here is that sermon today. Holy Spirit, anoint this word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Now, the Jezebel spirit was addressed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many knows that the Lord had some very strategic things to say to the seven churches of Asia Minor? Well, I mean, he lined out the things that were good and the things that were not so good and the things that were bad. And so he spoke to each one of these different seven churches of Asia Minor. And so we go down to his address to the church at Thyatira. And that is found in the book of Revelations, chapter number 2. And we begin with verse number 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of Jesus, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass. That sounds like Jesus to me, right? And here's what he says to the church. He said, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. That's a pretty good endorsement, isn't it? So this is no weak church. This is no subpar church. I mean, this is no church filled with all kinds of feebleness. I mean, this is a church that has love. They have, they work. They're servants. They have faith and they have patience. And, so it's a major endorsement that Jesus, presents to the church at Thyatira. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. He said, now there's something I want to say to you that I'm not pleased with at all. I'm pleased with your works, your love, your service, your faith, but I am not pleased that you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. He said, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I'm going to cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, lest they repent. What is Jesus calling for? What is he calling for, first of all? He acknowledges there's a problem, and then he calls for repentance. He's such a merciful God. He acknowledges there's a problem, and then he calls for repentance. And then he gives the consequences if there is no repentance. See, when we deal with people, there must always be consequences. Here's the reward if you repent, if you get things right. If you don't, these are the consequences. Every parent must be teaching their children the dangers of sin or disobedience, and they must be naming the consequences if they disobey. So the consequences are, and I'm telling you, this is a major indictment. I've never seen Jesus get so strong in all of the Bible. He said, if she doesn't repent, I'm going to kill her children. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. And in conclusion, he gives an encouragement. He says, hold fast what you have till I come, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end to him, I will give power over the nation. So he says, if you deal with this, it's going to be a powerful church. So you must understand that the church in Thyatira was an active church, a good church, an effective church, but they had one problem, and it was a major one. And the problem was that they had allowed, depends on which translation you read, tolerated that woman Jezebel to operate, to prophesy, teach, and seduce. In other words, he said, you have given her public ministry, and she has used it for her own benefit. And because the Jezebel really cannot operate without some type of public forum, that is why the Jezebel spirit must be dealt with publicly. Now, Jesus did not sidestep the problem. Huh? He said he did not cover it up. He said there's a problem here, and it must be dealt with. And he said the consequences, if it's not dealt with, here's what will happen. Now, in this passage, you must understand that Jesus, I'm trying to speak very slowly so I can make it, I can break it down and make it plain. In this passage, Jesus was referring to the spirit of the Jezebel that was mentioned in the Old Testament. How many of you ever heard about the Jezebel in the Old Testament. Now, even John Doe knows about, out on the street, knows about Jezebel. If you ask anybody on the street, have you ever heard of Jezebel? They say, oh, yeah. I mean, they avoid it, try to avoid it by, with a plague. But they understand what a Jezebel is. Sometimes even more, I believe, than the church. And how many times lately have you heard of some baby girl being named Jezebel? You know, I got a new daughter. Her name is Jezebel. No, that word is intolerable in the secular world. But in the church world, we somehow have tried to sidestep it or not talk about it. But Jesus said, I want to talk about it. He said, I'm going to talk about your works, your service. I'm going to talk about your faithfulness. I'm going to talk about your faith. I'm going to talk about your patience. And I'm also going to talk about the Jezebel spirit. He was not talking about, at this point, he was not inferring about the Old Testament Jezebel. He was talking about a spirit that was in operation in the church. Not just maybe one particular person. Because the Jezebel spirit can operate in a woman, and it also can operate in a man. And so he said, I'm going to address the spirit. But everybody knew he was talking about because they remembered the story of the Old Testament Jezebel. And this Jezebel was in the Old Testament was a pagan with a religious spirit who married a prince who eventually became the king. And this couple appeared to be an ideal couple. He was a prince and she was a princess. But she was no lady. So eventually she became the king's wife. And that's what she wanted. She wanted power. She wanted authority. That's what the Jezebel always wants. And so they became a very wicked couple, this Jezebel and her husband Ahab. And Jezebel began to operate with wickedness in the kingdom. I want to say that no Jezebel can operate without an Ahab. And Ahab was a very passive, and he appeared to be a great macho man, but he was very passive. Very timid, very weak, very spineless man. And he tried everything he could to please her. And the Bible said that he sold himself out to her so that he might please her. In an effort to make her happy, he built her a temple so she could worship her gods. But it was never enough. She not only had her temple, then she had to have 400 prophets who sit at her table. But 400 prophets wasn't enough. You see, people that desire power, it will never be enough. And so she had to have 450 more. So pretty soon she was sitting at the table with 850 of her own prophets who were prophesying what she wanted to hear. You know, the Bible said in the last days, people will go to places, to churches and other places, having itching ears, and they will go to a place where the minister says what they want to hear. Gene Massey was telling me this funny story last night of a Methodist church he used to pastor, and he said one lady stood right up in the service and said, Pastor, why don't you say things that we want to hear? She actually stood up and said it. Why don't you say things we want to hear? If you could have just been nice, Gene, you might have still been there. So they prophesied 850 of them. Can you imagine all the endorsements she got from 850 prophets? I mean, they were saying all these wonderful things about her. But no one was confronting her. And the Jezebel spirit, if it's never confronted, it will continue to spread its wings and fly. and enlarge and expand and consume. If that spirit is not confronted, or if that spirit is tolerated. And so we find that finally God sent a prophet by the name of Elijah, a wild man who confronted the whole nation, called fire down from heaven, and killed all of Jezebel's prophets. All 850 of them. There was only one problem. He did not kill Jezebel. He stopped one step short. And as a result of him tolerating Jezebel, people lost their lives. He was never able to finish his ministry strong. And she was able to continue to function and operate until a king by the name of Jehu finally had her thrown out of the window and her blood splattered all over the place. And at that was the only time that they had peace. But Elijah, even though he was a powerful prophet, he tolerated it. Killed 850 if he just killed 851. And then her husband, which had been 852. So Elijah tolerated it, and the nation did not have peace. They had power for a while, but they had no peace. So I believe that God was displeased with Elijah because he tolerated Jezebel. So he just said, you're going to have to get somebody else going to have to take your place. And so he trained Elisha for a while. Elisha did take his place. Had twice as many miracles. But Elijah lost much of his effectiveness in ministry after that because of his tolerance for Jezebel. I believe that many churches across our land eventually lose their effectiveness because they are not willing to confront certain spirits. You understand? And Jesus did not say that you love this spirit. He didn't say you've embraced this spirit. He didn't say you have celebrated the spirit. He said you've tolerated it. You have allowed it. And you have not confronted it. In other words, he was saying Thyatira is a great church, but it has a passive spirit. What is passivity? Passivity is peace at any cost. As a church, as a family, what are we just going to have peace at any cost? Now, as long as everything is just peaceful. That's passivity. I mean, he realizes that we would not be enjoying our freedoms in America today if we had not had some war. And I don't believe that as a nation we go around looking for war. I don't believe the church ought to go around looking for a fight. But if a fight comes, so I don't see any fight going on, but a spirit will rise up to fight you. And if the fight comes, then it must be dealt with so there can be repentance. What does Jesus want? He wants repentance. He wants the Jezebel spirit, those who are carriers of the Jezebel spirit, to repent. And then he says, I'm going to give you a season to repent. And if you don't repent, here are the consequences. Only when there is repentance will the church go forward, be healthy, fruitful, and productive. And so realizing that the first step in conquering the Jezebel spirit is repentance, I'm standing here today repenting. I'm repenting as your pastor, your leader, for sometime tolerating the Jezebel spirit in this church. I'm asking you to forgive me for tolerating the Jezebel spirit. I've asked the elders to forgive me. I've asked the safety council to forgive me. Now I ask you as the congregation to forgive me. Because no one likes to get into conflict. Huh? But the Lord spoke to me and said, you have tolerated this Jezebel spirit. And so I'm repenting today because the Jezebel spirit is like a cancer. Once cancer is detected in a person's body, it must receive attention. It cannot be ignored. Cancer cannot be ignored. It will not go away. It must be given attention. And if you have cancer, which the Jezebel spirit, I believe, is, that's what the Holy Ghost said to me, one of two things must happen. It must either be prayed out or it must be cut out. And if it is not removed, if cancer is not removed out of your body, it would eventually destroy your whole body and you will die. And if the Jezebel spirit, once it is discerned, once it is exposed, you see, I've been somewhat passive, just a little bit passive there, maybe quite a bit passive until the prophet came and exposed it. He said, there's a Jezebel spirit. I knew he was right. I knew immediately he was right. And so I had to repent because I have tried to ignore it. I tried to ignore it. But you cannot ignore cancer. It will eventually destroy the whole body. It will eventually destroy the church. The church may continue to be an organism, may continue to have church services, may sing songs, but it will not be truly alive, productive. And so, one of two things must happen. You must pray it out, or you must cut it out. Praying the cancer out means that it will respond to the Holy Spirit and a miracle will occur. Just as in the case of Gene Gentry 2 years ago. We prayed it out. It responded to prayer. The other option is to cut the cancer out. Gene only had two options. We couldn't ignore it. Couldn't let it go. We had to give it immediate attention. We couldn't give it immediate attention. We couldn't give it attention in 30 days or 60 days. We had to give it attention now. So we either had a radical procedure called a mastectomy, or there had to be going away and praying, fasting, seeking God, believing that we had to do one of two things, pray it out or cut it out. So that procedure is then followed by a testing procedure, confirmations that this is truly a malignancy. Then a skilled physician with the aid of some trained nurses then removes the cancer. Once the cancer is removed, there's a healing process that takes place with additional attention until the patient is given a clean bill of health. It's painful but not permanent. So since the Jezebel spirit is truly a cancer in the body of Christ, once it's detected, it must receive our full attention. We can't wait 3 months. We can't wait 6 months. It must receive our full attention and be removed. If not removed, it will eventually destroy. So it must either be prayed out or cut out. It cannot be ignored. It will not go away on its own. So the Jezebel spirit has been detected, has been confirmed. I'm not in a guessing game. I don't have a suspicious mind like Elvis Presley. I believe where most of the Jezebel spirits are. And we have two options. And I say I know where most because we have in a church, if a Jezebel spirit is operating, they may not have the spirit of Jezebel, but they get under the influence of the Jezebel. And so it affects both groupings. So the first option is in progress. We're attempting to pray it out. I've been spending this past week fasting, praying, seeking God, calling for repentance. And we did have some people that come forward in repentance, and I'm thankful for that. But I don't believe that the Jezebel spirit will go quietly. I believe there must be deliverance. There must be deliverance in people that have the Jezebel spirit. They must repent, and then they must get delivered. And then people that's been under the influence of the Jezebel spirit, they too need to go through deliverance. Bob Schaefer and I, 3 years ago, see, the Jezebel spirit is nothing new to me. It's exactly what I fought 3 years ago. in the school. I would not allow it to take over our school. It either had to be prayed out and cut out. When we couldn't pray it out, we cut it out. And why? Because God has set me as the pastor of this house, a protector, a watchman on the wall. I am not a hireling. And so God gave me this assignment, and I must be true and faithful to my assignment. And so Bob Schaefer came, and we prayed for about a week for the people that had been under that Jezebel influence. They came to our offices day after day after day. Bob Schaefer and I just spent nearly all day, every day, for about a week, maybe 2 weeks, just praying over people, because most of the time Jezebel will not repent. Most of the time, the Jezebel spirit, whether it's he or she, won't repent. They will resist. It's usually the people that's under their influence that will usually repent. And Jezebel can repent because Jesus said, I'm going to give you a space to repent, knowing that all things are possible and nothing is impossible. But he said, if you don't repent, here are the consequences. And so we're in the process of praying it out. And what are we praying for? Repentance. Not praying judgment. I prayed judgment one time in the first church I pastored in Holiday, Texas in 1968. I was praying judgment. And while I was there at the altar, a stinging scorpion went up right up my britches leg and stung me 3 times. So I've learned that I will never, ever pray judgment again. So I pray, I err on the side of mercy. I've really been praying, Lord, have mercy. But I also know that God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of intolerance. He will only tolerate for a season. And he wants us to be people of intolerance, and that we will be tolerant, but for only a season. And so you must understand that if that spirit confesses and repents, and I would call confession before the pastor and elders, then we can go to the next process of deliverance. Okay? If no true repentance takes place, then we will go to the second option. And how will we know that the first option has not worked and the Jezebel spirit left? The person that spirit dwells in will come forward confessing that spirit to has been at work of them, repent of that. You know, the spirit will not just fly out of here. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to drive that. We just said, in the name of Jesus, Jezebel spirit go. It won't just fly right out the ceiling and be gone. No, it dwells in a carrier. So if that spirit repents, whoever's a carrier of the spirit repents, comes to the elders, pastor, then we'll take them through deliverance. Pastor Bob Schaefer said he'd come here. He's going to come here in about 2 weeks. So we'll give this a space of 2 weeks. And the spiritual leaders of this house will walk those persons through this process so we can be a healthy church. If we don't have a healthy church, again, that spirit will get right back in our school. Huh? Because we're the covering, and everything that comes through the covering. You know, the spirits can't get to a wife and children unless they come through the man, the priest of the house, the husband. Can't do it. And so the spirits must go through the leadership of this church in order to get to the school. So if we can't pray this Jezebel spirit out, we'll then cut it out. Proverbs 22:10 says this, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will leave. The Living Bible says, throw out the mocker. You'll be rid of tension, fighting, and quarrels. The New American Translation says, drive out the scoffer and contention will go out. Even strife and dishonor will cease. The Message Bible says, kick out the troublemakers and things will quiet down. You need a break from bickering and griping. So, cutting out the Jezebel spirit of the church is a radical procedure that is always painful and takes time to heal, but is necessary for the survival of the church. It's painful, but it's not permanent. So if cancer's not cut out, it spreads to other parts of the body, and the entire body eventually dies. Sometimes one part of the body has to be surgically removed in order for the other parts of the body to live. If the person carrying the Jezebel spirits do not repent, they must be removed. Sometimes that has to be a radical procedure. The church realizing that one part of the body must go so that other parts of the body can live. Sometimes a woman may have to lose their breast or breast in order for the other parts of their body to live. So it is with a Jezebel spirit. The cancer must go, and the persons with a Jezebel spirit must go if there is no repentance. So, I believe the Holy Ghost has appointed me as the spiritual surgeon in this church, along with the assistance of the Holy Spirit, intercessors in this house, and I'll just cut this spirit out so the rest of the body can be healthy and live. I've done this procedure before, and I did it 3 years ago so our school could live. If necessary, I'll do it again so this church can live. It will be painful, but it will not be permanent. So I know that some churches may have leaders who have general practitioners, but I believe that God has sent a prophet to this church who is a surgeon, and he'll help me. And I know that the leadership is standing with me. So who and what is a Jezebel spirit? I'm going to say this and we're going to pray. What does it look like? How does it operate? What are the symptoms? Last Sunday, I shared the first part of this message, and I just want to give a brief overview of my notes. You can get the tape, but we found last week, I just read from Nigel McNeil's notes, it's not whether you like the messenger or not, but what is the message? And the message was true. A Jezebel spirit operates, number one, he said a Jezebel spirit operates, a Jezebel spirit comes into a church to control the church or the pastor. The major three areas of operation are manipulation, intimidation, and domination. The Jezebel spirit attempts to kill anyone or anything they cannot control. They must be in charge at all costs. The Jezebel spirit needs a body and will operate in anyone who will submit to it. The Jezebel spirit can operate in men as well as women, but primarily operates in women who have passive husbands. These husbands may appear to be macho men, but they're actually wimps when it comes to their wives. Every Jezebel must have an Ahab to function. Ahab is passive, but also carries a provoking spirit. He is contentious, argumentative, depressive, and hostile. Ahab is not weak, but he does have insecurities that allow Jezebel to come in and usurp her authority in the home and in the church. Jezebel's major weapon is witchcraft. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Webster says that rebellion is a defiance of any authority, resisting authority, opposing any control. A primary example of rebellion is found in Numbers chapter 16. And of course, you need to read the entire chapter about Korah and those 250 men. A Jezebel spirit will use the spirit of witchcraft, control, manipulations, intimidations, dominations to work her magic. We're not against people. We're against the spirit that these people carry. The other characteristic of a Jezebel spirit that Nigel mentioned in his sermon notes were these. A Jezebel will use the spirit of witchcraft to work their magic. The spirit of witchcraft seeks to control finances, attempts to compromise the vision by bringing in other agendas, pet peeves, doctrines, or other ideas about church life, will attempt to control or manipulate leadership or people, draws allies together when in reality is building dependent relationships, appears supportive when their heart is not really with you, appears to endorse Holy Spirit moves, yet personally they don't enter in, but seeks ways to compromise the move of the Holy Ghost and often will stay away under some pretense from a Holy Ghost meeting. They see themselves as agents of change. They will veer strongly toward the doctrine of accountability, but while in reality, they're seeking to hold leadership and others accountable to them. will attempt to disempower the senior pastor and others to function in their foremost gifting. They will be quick to criticize or point out what they see as apparent weaknesses in the leadership of the church, will hold attitudes of superiority and often project a prideful spirit, will often project the concept that their teaching is either more advanced, deeper, or more current, or more current relevant with what God is saying. They will endeavor to prey on weak or defenseless Christians to gain influence over their lives, will vie for leadership in positions of influence, will subconsciously inject fear to the leaders and other people in the church, will make a person feel defenseless and thereby cause the person to justify their position. And that is some of the characteristics that were given by Nigel. You must understand that a person with a Jezebel spirit doesn't have to have all of these characteristics, but just many of those. These are characteristics or these are signs. If you have cancer, there has to be a sign or confirmation of this cancer. And so your oncologist will say, you know, here are the signs of the cancer, and let's see if this is what you have. Now, the Jezebel spirit has some other characteristics, and he brought these out. Most of the time, she will have a prophetic anointing. Jesus said, you've allowed that woman, Jezebel, who proclaims or calls herself a prophetess, you allow her to operate. She hungers for control, will use any means at her disposal to secure control. She will never oppose leadership openly, but behind the scenes, weaving her witchcraft ways by attempting to discredit him or expose his weaknesses, will attempt to sabotage the pastor into a place of helplessness and hopelessness. The spirit will attempt to seduce the leadership. That's why the pastor and church leaders must have strong marriages. That spirit will try to seduce. You know, many years ago, I preached behind this very pulpit a message on seducing spirits. I did not know that there was a woman in the congregation who sat right over here that she'd been carrying on a relationship with a church leader in this city. I was just here as a prophetic voice. But I just said, there's a seducing spirit in this place. And this lady began actually to laugh out loud and begin to mock me. You know, these spirits, if you allow them to, they'll openly mock you, laugh at you. I've had people to sit and laugh and mock while I was ministering the word, laugh and mock. And she got right in the middle of my sermon and laughed out. I found later she was carrying on an affair with a Christian leader in another church in this city of Roswell. And so it is a mocking spirit. And the Jezebel spirit refuses to partner with anyone. She sees herself as self-appointed. She sees herself as the watchman on the wall, watching for the church, a self-appointed corrector of the pastor and church. She's drunk with her own importance. She undermines authority, gathering her group of people that she can influence. She desires to give many prophetic words or words from the Lord to those she comes in contact with. She wears a cloak of super spirituality. Members of this congregation, what do you say about prophecy? You know, members of this congregation shouldn't receive prophetic words until you have a person to write it down, bring that to the leadership of the church, and let them confirm. Is that the Bible says that word should be confirmed. You can't just accept a prophetic word at face value. My God, you got to have a confirmation. It needs to be written down, brought to the elders with a person signing their name. Say, here's a word. Do you confirm it? The members of this congregation, the Jezebel spirit endeavors to control her environment. She needs a platform to express her influence. When she is challenged, she becomes defensive and reacts with anger and hostility. She would try to intimidate by giving words, quoting scriptures, making other people feel inferior. Willing to take others out of the church for her own gain if necessary. And why did Jesus, Jesus expressed a profound hatred for this spirit. I've never seen, you go and look at any other scripture in the Bible, you cannot find Jesus expressing the type of hatred that he expresses here about the Jezebel spirit. Why does he hate it so much? First of all, because it's divisive. And because it seeks to silence or minimize the voice of the church leaders. You know, the Jezebel does not want to have a church with a strong leadership. They want us all be on an equal basis. Isn't that the spirit of Lucifer? What did Lucifer say? Now, I'm not going to be above you, and you won't be above me. We'll just all be on an equal plane. That's what he said. Did God permit it? Absolutely not. The Bible said there was war in heaven. If there had not been a war in heaven, we would have had two masters. Huh? And anything with more than one head, somebody told me, is a freak. We would have had two masters, one Jehovah God and another one Lucifer. And they would both been trying to operate and function. How many knows that where there's the spirit of confusion and strife and envy, there is every evil work. And so God did not say, now I want everything to be nice. It's summertime, it's June, and we all need a rest up here in heaven. He said, no, it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen anywhere that I am in charge, and I will defeat you here because I know that there will be churches and Christians and my leaders that will face the same thing in days to come. So we got to settle it right here. If we don't settle it here, ladies and gentlemen, your sons will and daughters will have to settle it, and your grandchildren will have to settle it. Huh? If we don't do it, we'll leave it for our kids, our grandkids, but it won't go away automatically. So the Bible said, if you want to read, there was war in heaven, and Lucifer did not prevail. There was war in heaven. Lucifer did not prevail. The Bible said he was cut out. He was cast out. He had to go. Huh? And so he came down here. He's not in hell. He came down here with the same strategies, that if he cannot take over heaven, then he'll take over the local church, one by one by one by one. And he has many already. It appears to be okay, but it's not okay. The Jezebel spirit's working her magic, and everything appears to be peaceful, but it's not peaceful. And the fruits of it are taking place in the children and the grandchildren. It's not this generation, because of our disobedience, will suffer the most. It's the next generation. And the next generation. And you must understand that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jezebel cannot cohabitate. And it was so bad when I came here, both and I have repented. He repented for tolerating it, and I in the school, I repent for tolerating the church. I'm actually more guilty. I'm more guilty. But I would look out the window and see Jezebel's spirit operating, coming across the road, and I got to where I had to pull my blinds because the spirit was so overt. The longer you let something go, the more detrimental it becomes in the greater battle that you have to come against. The Bible said that God is a God of peace. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is a God of peace. He is also, the Bible said that God is also a God of war. David said, he teaches my fingers to fight. He teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Fight for what? Be so much easier for me just to go and do prayer revivals, huh? Do you know how to live by a lake somewhere? You know, in the natural, I say, I don't need this. I don't need this. But God has given me an assignment. I am here on assignment. And my favor does not, or my self-worth does not come to how many bodies fills the chairs. It comes with knowing that I've either obeyed God or disobeyed God. I have to look Him in the face every morning. And I have to look myself in the face. I don't like to fight, but if I fight, I will. I must. Not for my sake, but the sake of our sons and daughters and their children. So the voice of Jezebel wants to silence the voice of authority. What does Jezebel hate? Hates authority. Numbers chapter 16, they came, Korah and his 250 powerful men came to Moses and said, we are from God also. They did not like his voice of authority. The Jezebel spirit operates in the spirit of witchcraft, and witchcraft is rebellion. I saw it 3 years ago. His room was filled with it, mocking me and saying, we'll take our school back. But I said, I'm not against people, but that spirit and the Holy Ghost and the Jezebel spirit cannot cohabitate together. You must go somewhere else. So I had to pray out and cut out. But I was not standing alone, because the Lord came and He strengthened me. And He stood beside me. And He held up my hands. Hallelujah. And He encouraged me. And He assigned guardian angels to encamp around about me. And so if we compromise, the cancer spreads. Jesus hated it because it minimized the voice of authority. He hated it because the Spirit spreads rebellion throughout the church. He hated it because the Spirit prohibits ordinate leadership from operating. He hated it because the Spirit brings confusion. He hated it because the Spirit seeks personal gain. He hated it because this Spirit begins to bring in prophetic words that people can't discern what is true or what is Memorex. He hates it because this Spirit is a major hindrance to the joy in the church. It brings a spirit of heaviness. It brings a stifling spirit where people do not have the freedom to jump up and shout and praise God and speak in other tongues or dance or run around the building or laugh or rejoice. It's a stifling spirit. The spirit of heaviness. The Spirit destroys marriages, and it destroys children and grandchildren. The proven fact that if the Jezebel spirit in a woman is not repented of, that her daughters will marry weak, spineless men, and their sons will marry women who are domineering and controlling, who wear the breeches. The Spirit, Jesus hates the Spirit because it destroys the true prophetic anointing of the church, because the Spirit is proud and haughty, because the Spirit will spread like cancer, destroy the entire church, make it ineffective, inefficient, and non-productive. The Spirit will not go on its own. It has to be prayed out, cut out. So Jesus said, once cancer discovered, you can't pray for a more convenient season. Huh? Whether it's winter, summer, fall, Christmas time, whatever it may be. Can't wait. So we'll give the Jezebel spirit 2 weeks to repent. Come to the elders, repent. I'll have Pastor Bob Schaefer to come in. 2 weeks, we'll spend a week getting people delivered that have the Jezebel. They've repented first and they want deliverance. And then we'll pray also for people who's been under that control, that subjected to that spirit. It's a powerful spirit. It made a prophet run for his life. It's no small thing.
Okay, there's the message that I preached several years ago concerning the Jezebel spirit. And I know it's pretty heavy and direct, but that's the spirit that we are battling in this nation. That spirit is trying to enter the White House. That spirit is trying to enter every church in America. That we have hundreds of pastors that are leaving the ministry every month, and hundreds of churches that are being shut down every year, primarily because of the Jezebel spirits that wants to control, manipulate. And we just declare in Jesus' name that that spirit is broken over our nation, our land, and that every pastor and every church leader will stand against that spirit. In Jesus' name, we speak and declare today that that spirit will not control our nation. And Lord, we know today that we're not just in a political battle, but we are in a spiritual battle in this nation. With our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth, our shoes of peace, our shield of faith, our sword of the Spirit, we declare that the Jezebel spirit over this nation, over this land, over the cities that we dwell in is broken, over the White House is broken, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now to accept Him. Father, I pray for every person that does not know the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that they will receive You. Would you say this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. You arose on the third day. And I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you would like to be a member of Breakout Radio Church, all you have to do is go to breakoutradiochurch.com, breakoutradiochurch.com, and you can click on the little church with a red roof. Just click that symbol, and there is the membership card that you can fill out and submit. And if you don't have a church or a pastor, you can become a member of Breakout Radio Church. We'll pray for you, watch for you. This morning I was holding the names of the members of the church in my hand, praying for them. Go to breakoutradiochurch.com, click on the little church, and fill out the membership card, submit that. We have here in the Ministry Center one of our church leaders at Breakout Radio Church, Joe Ragland. He's coming to receive the Sunday morning tithes and offerings.
I'd like to share a scripture this morning with you first. It's in Malachi 3, beginning with verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. It says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I'd like to just give a quick testimony, a little bit of about giving. After I became a Christian, we immediately, Linda and I, began to tithe. It's been over 40-something years in our lives, and we've continued to see God's faithfulness again and again and again. We would not back up. We continued not only to tithe, but give over and above what we had in tithing and in offerings. And we saw God's faithfulness. And I was in business for years, and the Lord never forsake us. As we gave, we were faithful in our giving. God continued to bless us again and again. And we continued to be a blessing to those on the earth. You know, the Lord is He's the Lord of the earth. He's the Lord God above all. There is none like unto him. So we were blessed at times in business when the economy seemed to go down. It didn't change with us. And we continued to give. And we continued to bless. And God blessed us and blessed others. For us to be able to not only bless others, to bless others in other nations, other lands. And we went into those places, whether they were in Europe or Africa, in the United States, Haiti, different places. And God was able to bless us in such a way to go and also give and teach some on giving and tithing and watching the blessings of God. God wants to establish himself in you, in your giving. And on a regular basis, it's all his anyway. It's all his. And God's church is established. We want to see it established in the earth. But listen, we don't go by the economy of this world. We go by God's economy. And the joy of, I just saw something this morning, you know, in our giving, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when we give, we get such joy in giving and receiving. I just want you to know that God wants to bless you at whatever level you're at. If you've just begun to give in your tithes and offerings, just continue to be steadfast in it. God loves to see people be steadfast in what they do and stay with it. and God will bring an increase. But I'm going to pray in a minute because I believe there's some of you that have businesses today that need God's touch, and he wants to be to show himself strong in your behalf. So let's pray this morning that God will just move in your heart, move in your life, in your family. And Father, I thank you this morning for all those that are hearing from throughout the world, wherever it may be, in whatever nation. There's some that are tuned in this morning, and I believe you're speaking to them right now. I'll just call out to those in businesses that have just started that they be faithful, and not only in what you call them to do in the business, but faithful in their giving as they draw. If it's 10% out of their business, they begin. If they've not done it, it's okay. Start now where you're at. And for those of you that are not in business, you just have an income, whether it in America we use dollars. It could be $10, $5. Take 10% of that. Of $10 is a dollar. Just begin where you're at. Well, that's just a little bit. That's okay. Begin there. God is faithful to bring the increase. He loves you. He has a great, mighty plan for your life. So not only can you be a blessing to those around you and provide for your family, whether it be a man or a woman or a child, a young child could be hearing this right now and want to participate. You could be 10 or 12 years old. You can begin where you're at. You get an allowance or however you get you receive money. Be faithful, and you'll see God's faithfulness. He will not fail you. So today, Father, I just pray your blessing upon all these now, all those in our, you can hear my voice now, in the many nations, whether it's China, it's Japan, it can be Russia, it can be in Africa, in South America, in the United States, in Canada, all the nations of the world. I just pray the blessing of the Lord to bring increase in their lives today. Upon the job, they, I believe and pray for promotion, the promotion of the Lord to come upon them. God has a promotion for you because you trust God. So trust God with all your heart. We thank you this morning in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Breakout Radio Church. For more information about this worldwide ministry, go to www.bpnradio.com. Join us again next Sunday morning at the same time for Breakout Radio Church.